You're listening to Principal Broadcasting, featuring the League of Professionals with Muriel Donnelly, weekdays 10 to 4 p.m. with current topics to elevate your career to the next level.
John Stevens here with Principal Broadcasting, and today my guest is Dr. Debbie Grammas, and she has been providing mental health services to the fine people of Houston, Texas. And Dr. Grammas, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Let's talk a little bit about you and your practice. Why don't you tell me and my listeners what exactly your practice handles?
So I am a psychologist, and so I do therapy. Some people are a little confused with psychiatrists who provide medication.
Right.
And I work with the adult population, so anybody 18 years of age or over. I see individuals as well as couples, and the four main areas that I focus on in my therapy are anxiety, depression, people with eating disorders or body image concerns, and couples counseling. So those are the things that I love to work with.
Now, do you have in that list, is there something that you enjoy more than others in dealing with troubleshooting?
I think probably the anxiety. That's probably the biggest reason that people come into therapy. And a lot of times people think they need to be crazy if they're coming to a therapist, but that is not the case. Life is hard and we all struggle at times and life throws us curveballs. So most of the people I work with are pretty healthy individuals just struggling with some area of their life.
Now, anxiety, I think a lot of people get confused when you hear anxiety thrown, because it's thrown around so nonchalantly in this day and age. Is that an actual mental health issue? I mean, do people suffering from anxiety, I mean, should they be on medication for this?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in let's see what we can do before going on medication, because
yes,
there's many different tools and types of therapy and relaxation techniques that have been clinically proven to help people with anxiety. So some people just want a quick fix and want a pill, and that's not going to work for everybody, but there's a lot of people that just don't want to be on medication at all or for a long period of time.
Now, with the anxiety, I mean, is it kind of like a symptom to something larger, or is anxiety like its own issue? Do people literally just suffer from anxiety for no reason at all, or is there usually like a reason?
There's the yes and the no to that.
Right.
So yes, you can have a, there is a diagnosable code called generalized anxiety disorder. And these are people that worry about every little thing that might occur, like, gosh, what if I can't find a parking space when I get to the doctor's office? Or what if I can't find it? Or,
right,
you know, what if my, you know, kid falls down on the way to school? Or just every little thing that, you know, for most people you don't really worry about those kinds of things or spend too much time thinking about those kinds of things. So for some people, yes, it is a diagnosable disorder. And really, for something to be diagnosable, it has to cause what they refer to as clinically significant distress. So that means it's affecting their life in some way, shape, or form, whether it's affecting them in their social or romantic relationships or their ability to do their job and that kind of thing. So that's the diagnosable disorder. But then there's also anxiety that could be situational. So it could be causing you enough distress. You know, so let's say maybe somebody's somebody you love has an illness, or somebody you love is in a lot of trouble, then those are some things that could easily cause anxiety, which would be normal in those kinds of situations.
Right.
But sometimes it helps to talk to somebody that's not family or not emotionally involved in the situation, because your family and friends are going to tell you what you want to hear, but your therapist is going to tell you what you need to hear.
I've never actually heard it put like that, but that makes complete sense. I think that's why a lot of people seek out kind of like a third, you know, non-biased party.
Right. And I think something else to think about that people don't realize is we all have a baseline level of anxiety. Like, let's say if you think about it right now, I'm talking to you on the phone and I know I'm being interviewed. So I have, you know, little butterflies in my stomach, if I'm being honest, because I don't know exactly where this conversation is going to go.
Right.
Maybe you actually feel some too, because you never know what you're going to get on the other end of the phone too.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So that small amount of anxiety actually serves as a motivator and helps us to do well. Because if you think of it, when you're in school, you get anxious about a test, and that motivates you to help you study. So you want some anxiety to perform well in life, but the problem is if you have too much anxiety, then your performance can decrease, and that's when it becomes problematic.
Now, does anxiety necessarily, I mean, does anxiety and depression go hand in hand? I mean, can somebody be, I mean, anxious and not depressed, or how does that, because I've heard it, heard those two grouped together a lot.
Okay. So what they say is that you can be depressed, but not anxious. But anybody that struggles with anxiety long enough will eventually become depressed.
Because of the, maybe the social disruptions that it's making in their life?
Or just the chronic stressor. So maybe feeling like nothing you do helps and that maybe it's never going to go away. So you might start to feel hopeless and get depressed about it.
Dr. Grammas, how long have you actually been in business in the city of Houston?
Well, I actually got my PhD in 2010. So I went back to school as an adult. And this is actually my third career.
Wow. Get out of here.
Yeah. See, it shows you're never too old to learn.
Absolutely. Now, do you find this new career of yours more or less rewarding than your previous careers?
I love it.
You do. You do love it. I hear that from a lot of therapists. Yeah.
Yep. It was actually my midlife crisis actually ended me up here because I kind of thought around 40, you know, I'm about the halfway point of my life. I looked more at the first half as really focusing more on raising family and then kind of what do I want to do with phase two in my life. And I really struggled with that myself. And what I decided was I wanted to give back to society. So the way I could give back to society is helping people be the best them that they can be.
That's absolutely great. Now, your clients, you spoke a little bit about some of the clients that you had. Now, a new client comes in. What does your process look like from start to finish?
Sure. So I always tell them that the first session, what we do is an intake. So I'm just going to ask them a bunch of questions, find out how long they've been struggling with whatever they're coming in with, get some family history, relationship history, work history, and that kind of thing. And then I'm going to ask them what their goals are for therapy. What do they want to accomplish? Because the therapy is really about them, not necessarily about what I might think they need, but really what they're coming in for and what they're needing for. And then I tell them, once I know what you're needing, then we can come up with a game plan to help you get there. And then we go from there.
Wow, that's fantastic. And again, I mean, this question, this next question always gets me when it comes to mental health professionals. But what was your inspiration for jumping into this field of work?
I had this sense that there was something out there for me. I just didn't know what it was. So I actually got therapy myself to work on that. And then I kind of realized that, you know, what my therapist gave me was the greatest gift that I could have asked for, because he kind of helped me remove any barriers that might get in the way of my future success.
Wow.
Never thought I'd go back to school and get a PhD. I thought after I was done with my college, you know, when I was 22, I thought I'm done, never studying again. And of course now I've obviously eaten my words. But so I feel like he gave me the greatest gift, helped me to be the best me that I can be. And I thought I want to pay it forward to other people.
That's fantastic. And my hope is that at some point in your future career doing mental health, that you'll persuade somebody to go into the industry themselves. That would just be awesome.
Right. And I'm always happy to help people if they're considering going in that direction to, you know, give them some information on how to get into school, how to succeed, and how to start a practice if that's what they're wanting.
Well, Dr. Grammas, we have to end the show in just a minute, but I wanted to kind of turn the floor over to you. Where can people find your practice? Do you have a Facebook page, a website?
I do. So I actually have two offices, one in Bel Air and one in Clear Lake. My website is just my name, debbiegrammas.com. You can also email me at info@debbiegrammas.com. I've got a Facebook business page, and I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter.
That's fantastic. Dr. Grammas, thank you so much for coming on the show. And for anyone out there wanting to check it out, that's debbiegrammas.com. Debbie, obviously, DebbieGrammas.com. Dr. Debbie Grammas, thank you so much for coming on and giving us a little insight into your professional world.
Well, thank you.
This is Principal Broadcasting, the professional's choice.